going to do one more nevertheless next Sunday night. Next Sunday night will be the finale, the nevertheless of his coming. Jesus Christ is coming. There is probably one more I could do, the nevertheless of the judgment. We're all going to stand before the judgment. Amen. I'll do that later when we got a room full of sinners. Okay. I'm just picking. All right. But there is a judgment coming. Amen. And we need to get ready for it. Hallelujah. And for Christians, we have the judgment seat of Christ. For the sinners is the great white throne judgment. There are two different judgments. One is for rewards. Well, both are really for rewards, but one is for the rewards that we do here, the sacrifices that you make, the songs that you sing, the service that you take. Every cup of cold water is going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. That's something to look forward to, because our judgment took place on the cross of Calvary. Amen. So, but tonight I want to talk to you about the nevertheless of comfort. Now, let me remind you what we've covered. Somebody say nevertheless. I tell you, I pray it gets in your spirit. We talked about in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, the nevertheless of his word. We got that? All right. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. What's that next word? Nevertheless, at your word. Amen. The nevertheless of faith. And then we talked about in Psalm 106, the nevertheless of salvation. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. They sinned. They messed up. They failed. Verse 8 says this, nevertheless, he saved them. Aren't you glad for that one word, nevertheless? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Give him a hand of praise for the nevertheless of salvation. And then in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 8, and they conspired all of them together and came to fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. Sounds like some hindering going on. But what does it say? Nevertheless, we did what? Made our prayer unto God. How many of you know the nevertheless of prayer still works? Amen. Oh, and then we talked about Lazarus, dead at the tomb. John 11:14, Jesus said unto him plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, but I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there physically. He was there and spiritually, to the intent that you might believe nevertheless. And he come out of that tomb. Amen. And then last time was the nevertheless of the spirit, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The nevertheless of the Spirit. So stand with me tonight. And let's go to the next one in 2 Corinthians. Now, there's 100 of them in there. I don't think I'm going to do 100 sermons on it. But we'll just do like a big link of sausage here, and we're just going to cut it off next Sunday, okay? And we might pick it back up later on. You know, that's the thing about the Word of God. There's something fresh and new and exciting every Sunday, every day, every moment. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 7, and I want you to turn around and tell your neighbor that you're blessed and highly favored while you're finding the Scripture. And see if they've got 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Ask them, do they got it? All right, if you don't, look above my head here. If you're there, say amen. For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. What's that next word? Oh, there it is again. Amen. Nevertheless, God that what? Comforts those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Verse 7, not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he has comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. Father, tonight, thank you for the nevertheless of comfort when we are bowed down, when we are troubled on every side. God, there is a word that we can hang to, nevertheless. And we give you the praise for it tonight. Anoint your servant. May I decrease, may you increase, and may your word have free course tonight. And we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see him in the house of the Lord tonight. Say it, Brother Elam. What's the word? Amen. Amen. I tell you what, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Do you really believe that? In our text tonight, Paul is describing a tough season in his life. He had no rest. You can go back to 2 Corinthians 5, and there it is. He said, we had no rest. Couldn't sleep well at night. Troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Another word for fightings is struggles. Anybody had struggles or have struggles? And he said, within were fears. Now, he's saying here, basically, in plain language, things just weren't going right. Now, there's some of you tonight, I can tell you, if I talk to you out in the lobby, you'd probably just sum up by saying, Pastor, things just aren't going the way I want them to go, the way I feel like they need to go. Things just aren't going right. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in your finances, maybe in your prayers, I don't know. But I want to ask you tonight, has that happened to you recently? Come on now. That things weren't going right. And I want you to notice something tonight. We're not talking about a new convert. We're not talking about a novice. We're not talking about a shallow believer. This is the mighty Apostle Paul making and writing these statements. Please understand that even preachers and even ministers deal with disappointments, deal with discouragements, deal with depression. They say that on Monday, the bishop always gets the call from several preachers. What's the problem? Well, we had a bad day yesterday. I want another church. I'll never forget when Pope, the Pope before him, the news came out on Monday that he was stepping down. I told Bishop Whitfield, I said, even the Pope resigned on Monday. It reminds me of, in 1866, the famous preacher Charles Spurgeon, got my Charles Spurgeon's preaching Bible for my anniversary here, ordination anniversary. Charles Spurgeon, he shocked 5,000 listeners from the pulpit of his great metropolitan tabernacle. He announced to them, he said, this is Charles Spurgeon, the great Spurgeon. I am the subject of depressions of spirit, so fearful that I hope none of you ever gets to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. See, even preachers deal with some of these issues. In fact, when you think about Martin Luther, the great reformer, he had terrible bouts, and you know what it was, Pastor? It was spiritual warfare. Satan was trying to destroy that great reformer, and his wife was a very godly woman, and she came in the house one day all dressed in black. And Martin Luther, he had been going through depression and going through so much despair, and he looked at his wife and said, "Honey, whose funeral are you going to? Who's died?" And she said, "God has died." And Martin Luther looked and said, woman, you have spoken blasphemy. God is not dead. And she said, exactly. And you need to start acting like he's not dead. Oh, give the Lord a praise. He's not dead. He's alive. Nevertheless, he is the God of comfort. So in the despair, in the disappointment, when things aren't going right, enters this word. Shout it tonight. Nevertheless, you see, remember what that word means. Nevertheless means however. In other words, there's something's going here and things aren't going. But however, God is on the throne. It means yet. Somebody say yet. We had a preacher come through here a couple years ago, W.A. Mills. I listened to that sermon not long ago. Yet it will change everything. It means notwithstanding. And my favorite definition says this. Nevertheless means this. In spite of. Can you say amen? In spite of what people say, in spite of what I'm going through, in spite of the doctor's report, nevertheless, God is on the throne. Things are about to change. It ain't over till it's over. Don't give up. The devil is defeated. The mountains can be moved, and the rivers can be forded. Our God is on the throne. Nevertheless, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Well, glory. I said, well, glory. I had lunch. We went lunch, Cracker Barrel, Olive Garden, going tonight. But there was the preacher from one of our churches in Wilson, and I said, "Brother, you've lost a little bit of weight." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, I've lost 100 pounds. I said, well, I've lost 30, praise God. I'm going to catch up with you. Amen. And I looked, and he sat over there next to us, and he's got five, I believe, and one on the way, or may have six and one on the way. I think it's five. Five children and one on the way. And I thought to myself, you know what? It ain't over till it's over, praise God. I'm going to lose this weight, and I'm going to have a child if I have to steal him or kill him or something. I don't know. I'm going to, nevertheless, it ain't over, hallelujah. God's got a plan for Ricky now, but he's got a plan for you, amen? Well, you're 48 years old, but God is the eternal Jehovah, amen? It's all right, I'll take my oxygen tank to the college graduation if I got to. I don't plan to be on oxygen, but if I have to, I'll be there. Glory, amen. Somebody shout faith, hallelujah. And this is how Paul, he had three looks that got him out of this situation. Three looks. Number one, point one. He had, number one, the upward look. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 7, verse 5 again. He had the upward look. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side without were fighting with it. Go to the next scripture, please. Nevertheless, God. Somebody say God. Where do you find God at? Everywhere, but you know what? You're looking up. Amen. He's high and what, Isaiah? High and what? Lifted up. Glory to God. And when they saw him ascending, amen. Listen, Paul said, nevertheless, God, he took an upward look. He said, I am looking up. I know there's fightings and struggles and fears and disappointments, but I'm looking up, praise God. Now, he didn't look back. And that's what a lot of people do. They go through stuff like this. They start looking back. Well, I made all these mistakes. I tried to quit drinking and I failed. I tried this and I tried that. You know what the problem is? You're looking back. And you need to keep looking up. Hallelujah. You're not going to run out of his mercy. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. God is quite frankly pleased when we fall and get back up again. Amen. You need to look up. You need to quit looking at your failures, looking at the hurts, there's a lot of people that they are still looking back because somebody hurt their feelings in the choir 22 years ago and they're not singing to this day. You know what your problem is? You're looking back. Oh my goodness. There's nothing to look back to. Look at Genesis chapter 41 verses 51. If you're there, say amen. This is Joseph. Don't you think Joseph was treated a little unfairly? Thrown into the pit, sold into slavery, rose up to Potiphar's second in command. His wife, diabolically, evil woman lied on him and she was the first of that Me Too movement. And problem is she was lying and some of them are genuine, by the way. But here's Joseph. God finally blessed him. Nevertheless, amen. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. Now what does Manasseh? For God has made me what? Forget it. All of my toil and all of my father's house. Listen, and then came the second child. And the second child was Ephraim. For God has caused me to be what? Fruitful. That sounds like a nevertheless. Amen. Let me tell you something. Fruitfulness always follows forgetfulness. And I mean forgetting the bad things. There are some good things we should never forget. We should never forget Calvary. We should never forget the scripture. We should never forget the miracles of the past. Sometimes we have spiritual amnesia. It's like we call up the wrong things. And I'm telling you tonight, don't look back. Look up. God ain't finished. God is still on the throne. You need to take it. Nevertheless, God will meet the need. Can you say amen? Philippians 3 and 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. It's over. It was over. I was praying not long ago and just talking to the Lord and I had to go take Darnell something to it. She works way out yonder in Gardner's Elementary School and so it's about a 30-minute drive out there. And so I started praying, you know, my morning prayer time. I said, well, I'll just pray and drive. Let me tell you, my Lincoln Town car is an altar unto God. I promise you. I'm telling you, it's white for a reason. Amen. But I was driving out and I said, Lord, I need a word. Lord, you know, I've been discouraged sometimes. Lord, you know, I've been to the valley. You remember what those people, oh God, you know how we pray, how I pray sometimes. And I remember, and I said, Lord, just give me a word. And I drove by a church out there on 42. I believe it's an African-American church. And on the sign was Isaiah 54. Forget the former things. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, Lord, for the word. And I, you know what that was? That was a nevertheless. Amen. Now, I'm telling you some of my personal stories, but I'm telling you God wants to come into your personal story. Amen. I'm telling you, don't look back. You keep looking not to the things which are behind. It's over. It's forgiven. I don't care what divorce you've been through. I don't care if somebody molested you. I don't care what happened in the past. God, keep looking up. God's not finished, and He is the great healer. Nevertheless, somebody ought to shout and praise God about it tonight. A lot of people are looking back. Some of them are looking down all the time. Have you met those people that are looking down all the time? I mean, let me just read what I wrote in my notes here. They're looking down. Their face is so long, all the time, just a long face, that you could land a 747 on it. It is the runway length. Some people look like a reprint of the Book of Lamentations. You know, I've said it before that your day tends to go in the same direction as the direction of the corners of your mouth. If your mouth is down, that's where your face is going. I mean, your day is going. Amen? We need to quit looking down. Lucy and Charlie Brown were talking. And Lucy, you know, she's a little philosopher. 5 cents, she'll give you a piece of her mind. Some of you will do it for free. And some of you out there in live stream, not you here. Okay. Clarify that quickly. And Lucy was saying, Charlie Brown, life is like a voyage and an ocean voyage, like a cruise ship. And she said, some people put their deck chair facing forward so they can see where they're going. And she said, other people put their deck chair facing backward so they can see where they've been. And some people arrange the deck chair sideways so they can see where they are. What about you, Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown said, I just can never seem to get mine unfolded. That's the problem. We need to quit looking down and struggling with the old deck chair. We need to do like Lucy said. We need to set that thing forward. Somebody say forward. I'm going forward. Ever forward. In fact, we may learn that song on the praise team. Moving forward. Forward, forward, forward. God is not finished yet. The first look was the look upward. Somebody say amen tonight. And then there's a second look that complements this. It's not only the look upward, but look at the look sideward. What do you mean by that? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Let's go back to our text. The look sideward. Somebody say this sideward look. Now, just before I read the scripture, just look side you right now. Uh-huh. You got what I'm talking about. Sideward, right? You are my brother. You are my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we go to the promised land. I'm making up the words. But listen, look at 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. It says, for when we were come in Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Go to verse 6. Nevertheless, God, say amen. That's the upward look. Then he says that comforts those that are cast down, comforted us by the what? Coming of Titus. Now go to the next scripture. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation where he was comforted in you, talking about the church. Somebody said the church. When he told us of your desires and your concern, mourning means concern, and your fervent mind. In other words, Paul was like, yes, I'm looking up to God, but I'm looking sideways because I'm not in this thing alone. I'm not going through these struggles alone. I'm part of the body of Christ. And when I know the church is praying, brother, I know I'm going to make it. When I know my brothers and sisters are side beside me, we are fighting this thing together and we're on our way to Canaan's land. Glory to God. and we're not going all by ourselves. We're in a group. Hallelujah. We're part of, I am somebody in His body. We've got to have each other's prayers. We've got to have each other's. So, nevertheless, I got a brother in Christ. Nevertheless, I got a sister in Christ. Nevertheless, I'm part of a mighty army. And when I fall back, there'll be two or three to push me on and send me on. Thank God for nevertheless. Amen. He's like, I was struggling. I was dealing with fear. I was having a hard time. But nevertheless, Titus came and everything changed. Oh, yeah, I was looking up to God. Let me tell you what, God uses people. Amen. And we need those people that God uses. We need the scriptures. Amen, somebody. We need the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. And we need God Almighty. But every now and then we need a Titus. Hallelujah. We need a pastor. We need friends. You know, we can't be like Garth Brooks. You know, I got friends in low places. That's where you're going to. In church, I got friends in high places. Amen. We're seated together with Christ in the heavenlies. Amen. Y'all my friend tonight? Come on now. I was wondering for a minute. Hallelujah. You're not a fair weather friend either, are you? You're going to love me when I do okay, and you're going to love me when I fall too, right? Amen. When I mess up, when I say something you shouldn't say, because it's going to happen. Amen. We love each other. Amen. Sometimes we need an encourager. Sometimes we need Titus. Sometimes we need counselors. We cannot be a lone wolf and get very far spiritually. Well, I'm just my own man. I don't tell people all my business. Well, honey, I'm not trying to get you to tell me all your business. But it's like D.L. Moody was one of the great preachers of 1800 as well. He met a man on the street and started witnessing to him. He said, sir, the story is that D.L. Moody made a covenant with God. He would never go to bed at night without witnessing to one person. And he, sure enough, he had a long day. He got into bed, got comfortable. He realized he did not witness to anyone. He got up out of the bed, went across the street. He was in the city of Chicago, found a man across the street and started witnessing to him. And the man said, mister, that's none of your business. And so D.L. Moody just said, well, I'm going to go back to bed. I tried. And then he stopped and he looked back and he said, hey, come here. He said, I want to tell you something, sir. It is my business. And he led him to Jesus. Folks, it's our business to get in your business sometimes. Where were you last Sunday night? Where you been gone 3 Sundays? I've been seeing stuff on Facebook that don't sound like you've been praying a whole lot. Oh, Lord, I'm really getting into it now. Boy, I am going to meddling now. Come on now. Don't tell me that everything all right. Leave me alone. You listen, it's my business to say, are you praying? It's my business to say, I love you. It's my business to say, Jesus has got a better plan. It's my I care about you. Thank God for people that cared about me. So thank God for when I was a young Christian that they asked me and told me and counseled me and encouraged me. We can't be a lone ranger. You see, the first thing the devil does is to separate you. Listen, I know there's listen, please hear me. I'm a pastor. And I know you can't be at church every single time the door is open. Even I can't be here every time. There's times I have to work. Times we are going to be away on vacation. Different thing. We need a time apart. We need to say, but listen, but if you're not careful, the devil's going to separate you. And just remember, the pastor said it before, you got a bunch of bananas, right? Y'all get those bananas? Amen. Walmart's got them. Hallelujah. But the first banana that gets away from the bunch gets peeled and gets eaten. Amen. And let's get in right in the middle of what God is doing. Amen. Amen. And by the way, listen, what we're supposed to do, encouragement, is what we're supposed to do to others when we've come through some things. Somebody said, listen, Paul was comforted by Titus. Amen. And so please understand that when we've been through some stuff, has anybody been through some stuff here tonight? Come on. When we've been through some stuff, you know what we're supposed to do when we've gone through it? We're supposed to help others who've gone through it. Somebody said that God comforts, listen to this, God comforts, the nevertheless of comfort, God comforts us not to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. Hallelujah. Look, in fact, Paul said that, 2 Corinthians 1:4. In fact, that's right out of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to do what? Comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort which we have received of God. If He's blessed you, brought you through, then share the joy, share the testimony, give the world a smile, encourage somebody. Nevertheless, God brought me through. Nevertheless, I am more than a conqueror. Let's take a look upwards. Amen. Let's take a look sidewards and hear those testimonies. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. And then the third look. The look up, say amen. The look side, say amen. And then the look onward, say amen. Go back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I stopped. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. It's one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. That's where I stopped. The rest of it says, and what? Reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. In other words, don't stay there. Oral Roberts preached a sermon in black and white. I saw it on TBN one night. Don't park. No parking. The pastor, I think you've preached some of that. Don't park here. Don't stay here. I know I've heard you preach it. And it was great. It's awesome. But because I didn't forget it. You know, we don't need to park in places of depression. We don't need to stay in a place of hurt. You know, if things don't work out on the job and you've done the best you could, just let it go and move on. Amen. You know, there just comes a point where I've done all I can do. And if I can't, who was I talking to? What were we talking about? I just can't remember. Somebody, some situation on their job, and they were, they did everything right, and somebody didn't do something. Somebody misunderstood, and they found themselves in a bad situation. I said, look, you know what? God may be moving you on to something else. Amen. God is God. Somebody say, nevertheless. Hallelujah. We got to look on. Amen. There is a brighter tomorrow. There is hope. You've got, look, Genesis 9:28. Genesis 9:28. I preach this too. And Noah lived after the flood. Somebody say he lived after the flood. He lived 300 and some years. In other words, this means he lived so many years and then a flood came. But the flood destroyed everything. But the Bible says he lived. Oh, somebody say amen here tonight. Let me tell you about this fellow, and I'm going to bring this to a close here tonight and call myself to the piano here in just a minute. Well, you don't know what happened to me. Could have been the worst thing that ever happened to me. Well, let me talk to you about that. You got to look on now. There once was a village that had among its people a very wise old man. The villagers trusted this man to provide them answers to their questions and concerns. And one day a farmer from the village went to the wise man and said in a frantic tone, wise man, help me. A horrible thing has happened. My ox has died and I have no animal to help me plow my field. Oh, Mr. Wise Man, isn't this the worst thing that could possibly have happened? Here's the response of the wise old man. He said, maybe so, but maybe not. The man hurried back to the village and reported to his neighbors that the wise man had surely gone mad. Surely this was the worst thing that could have happened. How couldn't he see this? But the next day, however, a strong young horse was seen near the man's farm. Because the man had no ox to rely on, he had the idea to catch and replace his ox with the horse. How joyful the farmer was. Plowing the field had never been easier. He went back to the wise man and apologized. He said, you were right, wise man. Losing my ox wasn't the worst thing that could have happened. It was a blessing in disguise. I never would have captured my new horse had that not happened. You must agree, Mr. Wise Man, that this was the best thing that could have happened. The wise man looked and said, maybe so, but maybe not. Now again, thought the farmer, surely the wise man had gone mad now. So once again, the farmer did not know what was about to happen. A few days later, the farmer's son was riding the horse and was thrown off, and he broke his leg and would not be able to help with the crop. Oh no, thought the man. Now we will starve to death. And once again, the farmer went to the wise man. This time he said, how did you know that capturing my horse was not a good thing? You will ride again. My son is injured and won't be able to help with the crop. This time I'm sure that this is the worst thing that could possibly have happened. You must agree this time. The wise man calmly looked at him upon hearing the news that his son had broke his leg. Said, maybe so, maybe not. Enraged, the man huffed back to the village, and the next day troops arrived to take every able-bodied man to war that had just broken out. The farmer's son was the only young man in the village who didn't have to go because he fell off the horse and broke his leg. And everyone in the village but his son died. You see, the moral of this story provides a powerful lesson. The truth is, we don't know what's going to happen. We just think we do. Often we make a big deal out of something. We blow up scenarios in our minds about terrible things that are going to happen. Most of the time we are wrong. If we'll just keep our faith and stay open to God, we can be certain that eventually it'll all be well. That was the worst thing, preacher, that happened to me. Maybe so, but maybe not. That job that got turned down. I remember last fall I applied for a promotion at Best Buy, and I'm telling you, I had my heart set on it. Praise God. I told God all the reasons that I should get it. I told him how good I was and how I needed it and blah, 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 blah. And it came down between me and another fella, and he's a good guy. In case he's watching, he is a great guy, but it does. He's a good guy. Don't let this go on Facebook, but he's not a Christian. Amen. He doesn't serve the Lord like I do. You know, a little bit of self-righteousness. Come on, y'all help me. Don't look at me like it. Maybe so, maybe not. Amen. And I remember the manager called me in there. He said, I'm going to give the job to the other fella. And I'm telling you, it just hit me wrong. It just hit me wrong. It did. And you know, I thought even not long ago, I was like, man, if I just got that promotion, just got that job. I came to work the other day. I said, where's so-and-so? He's working up. What? Come to find out the job that I had applied for and that he got, they have come down across the company and eliminated it. Well, in the meantime, I got another position in mobile making more bonus, glory to God, than I would have got. I said, maybe so, maybe not. Somebody ought to praise him and keep looking on. I'm about to get out of that camera and run. Well, glory. Hallelujah, somebody. Nevertheless, I don't care if I'm 48 or 28 or 108. When you get disappointed, you get disappointed. But just remember, nevertheless, we're going to make it. Maybe so, maybe not. I got me a new boyfriend. Boy, I've been praying for him. And that's probably a great thing, Pastor. Maybe so. Does he go to church? Does he have a Bible that's used? Come on now. Help me tonight. Oh, somebody lift up your hand to the Lord. Oh, it was the worst thing that could have happened on Good Friday when they crucified Jesus. You mean to tell me those disciples, they had to say that was the worst thing that could have happened on Good Friday. Or we call it Good Friday. It wasn't a Good Friday to them. Oh, the worst has happened. They have killed him and crucified him. But listen, maybe so, but maybe not, because on Sunday there came a nevertheless. The stone was rolled away, and he's alive forevermore, and he sits on the right hand of the Father. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah tonight. Nevertheless, he lives. He lives, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Stand with me tonight. Amen. Pastor Ricky, come on to the piano. Okay, I will. Old Martin Luther. Pastor, you going to help me tonight if you don't mind? Come on up, if you please. Oh, Martin Luther, God's not dead, is he? His wife, Catherine, put the point. And when he realized her point, that he was acting like he was dead, he wrote a song. When he realized God isn't dead. And this song goes like this. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Somebody give him a hand of praise tonight. Nevertheless, I said nevertheless. Sister Darnell, Pastor, just give me 1 second. Sister Darnell, come on up. I want you to do this. To me, he's become everything. He's everything that I need. I don't know it. You got to sing it. To me, he's become everything. To me, he's become everything. He's everything that I need.
The beginning, the end, he's life's dearest friend. To me, he's become everything.
Has he become?
To me, he's become everything. He's everything that I need. The beginning, the end, he's life's dearest friend. To me, he's become everything.
Help us tonight sing.
He's everything that I need. The beginning, the end, he's life's dearest friend. To me, he's become everything. When I wake up this morning, he's right by my side. At night, he's my last thought in mind. He's joy for each moment, he's hope that faith brings. To me, he's become everything.
Come on.
To me, he's become everything. He's everything that I need. The beginning, the end, he's life's dearest friend. To me, he's become everything. To me, he's become everything.
Has he become everything?
He's everything that I need. The beginning, the end, he's life's dearest friend. To me, he's become everything. He's my future, he's my past, the first and the last.
Yes.
To me, he's become everything.
Amen. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. He's become everything. Amen.
Hallelujah. A little F chord there. You know, sometimes we go through things and we need the comfort of the Lord. This is an old song right here. It says, Jesus is a way maker. Well, one day the sun refused to shine in this dreary life of mine. I pray both night and day that Jesus would make a way. Then Jesus heard my humble prayer. He answered me right then and there. One day, he made a way, Brother Ray, for me. Said, Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. One day, he made a way for me. When my life was dark and dreary, Jesus came. One day, he made a way for me. Jesus is the way maker. I said, Jesus, he's the way maker.
Come on.
Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. One day, he made a way for me. When my life was dark and dreary,